Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, hey,
hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Indeed, we roll along here on a sunny Monday afternoon. Thanks for hanging with me. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is out today. Zach Jones here at the controls. Joining us now on the West Her Hotline, as if the song wasn't enough to get you in the mood, it's our man, Sal Capaccio. Sal, how long has it taken you to feel? Do you feel normal now starting a new week now that you're back? Because you got back like midweek last week from Australia. How jarring was that to your clock?
It was still jarring this weekend. I would say today is the first day that it's been a pretty regular, but even this morning, I got up pretty early this morning to like work out, but I woke up a little earlier than that. But during even this weekend, Bulldog, like last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, getting up at like 4:30 in the morning, and I'm like, come on, man, and it just can't go back to bed.
Right.
And then you get tired during the day. So to answer your question, I think I'm good now, but I guess I'll see as the week goes on.
Right.
Much better than I was, though, for sure.
So what is – I'm glad to hear that. What is happening at One Bills Drive? Like, forgive me. How many years have they been having voluntary workouts before the draft? I feel like there was never anything until after the draft. So is this a new thing on the calendar? I know lots of teams are doing it, but has this been going on for years and I just sort of missed it?
So it really was even before the 2020 CBA, they started this. But the 2011 CBA certainly was not like this until after that. I would say that's the first time they started doing this. The 2020 CBA might have even pushed it even closer. But if I remember right, there were workouts even back when, like, you know, Rex was coaching, right?
Okay.
They had
yeah.
So I think that is the case. And it was, if you have a new coach, you can start early. In fact, that would have been the case because the Bills with Sean McDermott, when he was the new coach, they were able to start a week earlier than most teams. So I would be confident now in saying 2011 CBA is when all of this started. Prior to that, as you know, for many years and way back, you know, when you know, we're watching the 80s and the 90s and it was just, you know, you get to two-a-days and training camp and throughout the summer, they're getting out after it during OTAs. Well, basically what happened was the NFLPA in the NFL, when they negotiated that 2011 CBA, the NFLPA said, look, you got to stop banging on these guys as much as you do through OTAs and mini camps and training camp. And they said, we're going to basically have a shorter time period of how long you could be on the field during training camp, only like 2 hours. How much you could be at the facility during OTAs. They can literally only be at the facility during certain hours of the day. But in exchange, they got a longer off-season program as far as starting it earlier, although it is voluntary, right? So that was the change. The change was we will accept voluntary workouts starting in April, but you can't do all the things you've been doing to us once we get there for OTAs and mini camps and training camps.
That's the trade-off. So what?
That's right.
Is there football-related activity, or is this mostly just guys lifting weights and catching balls off drugs machines and that kind of thing?
There are football-related activities, but it is mostly that kind of stuff. It's actually interesting. You can't even have regular coaches, position coaches on the field. I shouldn't call them regular coaches, right? Because strength and conditioning coaches are coaches, of course, but they're the only ones who are allowed on the field with the players during this time. No footballs, I'll read it to you exactly as it is, shall be permitted to be used, except quarterbacks may elect to throw to receivers as long as receivers are not covered by other players. Kickers, punters, and holders and long snappers can use footballs for kicking, punting, snapping, or holding without the involvement of other players. Returners may field punts and kickoffs provided they are not covered by anyone. Jugs machines can be used for patching, catching, punt returns, and kickoffs. So you're really limited, but at least you're able to throw some and play some catch and stuff like that.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline with us here on WGR. So as we're ramping up here, Sal, we're a week and a few days from round one of the draft. You know, so much attention on receiver, of course, and we'll do plenty of that as this week goes on. But given your timeline and how your trip shook out, I was curious, because I don't think it came up, if only maybe we mentioned it when we had you on late last week. What did you make of Lyle Collins signing? Because that coming like the day after the Diggs trade, when I started thinking about, ooh, could they trade for Brandon Ayuk? They don't have a lot of cap room, but maybe they can structure a contract a certain way. And then like, oh, we signed Lyle Collins. Not that it's a huge contract or anything, but I was just a little surprised to see like that news. Is he depth, you think, or is he a battle at left guard, or what exactly?
My initial reaction is he is depth. Now, could I envision a scenario where at the end of training camp they say, you know what, we're going to start him over David Edwards and make David Edwards our extra lineman? I could see that. That would be the only spot I think that could wind up happening there. But I think that they are planning on David Edwards being their starting left guard. Now, they signed him to this deal. It's only $1.75 million. That's the numbers that came out, actually. The cap is going to be pretty low, 1.5. So as much as he can get, like, he has a whole bunch of incentives built into there. But it feels like this is more of, okay, if we have to use him, we will. Yeah. But we're not planning on it. And he's going to be pretty much a depth piece. What the big takeaway I took from this signing, though, Bulldog, was, okay, I think they're pretty set at O-line. For them to do this means they probably looked and said, where can we add a little bit where we don't have to force ourselves to draft somebody and we can add a little bit more veteran depth? Because as you know, and I've said this to you many times, they really like Ryan Vandermark. Right. They really like Alec Anderson. Right? Those are the two young guys who are in the system who I wouldn't be surprised if like Ryan Vandermark takes over right tackle next year for Spencer Brown. I just wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Alec Anderson starts at left guard next year or center and McGovern goes back to guard, something like that. Right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if things like that wind up happening. So they're in the system. But they also have no experience. Ryan Vandermark has a few games. Alec Anderson has yet to play. So you do need more of a veteran guy. They did sign Will Clapp. He's a veteran guy. Now you have Lyle Collins. I think this signing to me was representative of what spot can we fill out a little bit to not go into the draft thinking and forcing ourselves to kind of reach for a guy later at that position.
All right, good. So that lines up then. That makes sense to me. This is a player that was very highly touted. I think injuries have largely kind of derailed his career. Was he on a practice squad, I think, before this season?
He was.
I know the Bills had him in for a visit late in the season, so it's not like it came out of nowhere or anything. So, but depth, good. Okay.
Do you remember when he came out of college that what his situation was? Do you remember that?
Yeah, he ended up, was he not a free agent somehow?
So what happened was he was going to be in the draft, and then there was a legal issue of some sort which basically caused him to say, okay, I'm not going in the draft, I'll go in the supplemental draft. and he actually went into the supplemental draft, and the Dallas Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys wanted to sign him as a free agent because he wasn't drafted in the actual draft.
Right.
And so it was something like that. And maybe it wasn't even the supplemental draft, but yeah, he was a free agent because he was going to be drafted and something happened. There was a legal issue, something. And that's what it was basically. That's what basically happened. But he was considered a really, really highly touted player is my point.
Yeah.
But he wasn't drafted that year because of this. And then he goes to the Cowboys. He plays there for a while. Then he goes to the Bengals. He actually went back to the Cowboys, their practice squad last year. That's what you're referring to. And now he's on the Bills. The other thing that I'll also bring up about this, and this is not necessarily, you know, I think it's he's going to be mostly probably interior, but he can play tackle. I do wonder what Tommy Doyle's situation is. Tommy Doyle's had two straight season-ending injuries, one during week two against Miami a couple of years ago in that Heat game, and then last year in the preseason when he got hurt. And I think they really like Tommy Doyle, but Bulldog, I think he's going in the last year of his contract, and he has yet really to – now he's never really played. And I think that you have to consider, like, even though he's a guy on the roster, is he really a guy on the roster?
Right, yeah. Just changing out depth pieces is you know, something that happens, you know, constantly. There's always churn like that. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline with us here on WGR. So we got, you know, a week and a few days here, and Sal, you know, obviously we've been over this, but we're going to be over and over and over it again and again and again. The Diggs trade happens. And, of course, the wide receiver train, I mean, it's just running 24/7 now. And a part of that is the idea that, like we saw a few years ago, even on draft day and a little bit before the draft, big-name wide receivers with already big contracts or about to be due big contracts, teams that maybe just aren't, for whatever reason, inclined to want to give those out. They've got other players that outrank the guy. That would be the case with, say, T. Higgins, I would say, in Cincinnati. They've got Jamar Chase to pay. They can't have two $30 million wide receivers. Higgins deserves number one money, so you've got a situation there. Short-term franchise tag. But, you know, he asked for a trade, and curiously, this weekend, I saw him quoted as saying, like, he expects to play for the Bengals, so, I don't know, good luck making a trade happen. But you can make the same comment about Brandon Ayuk and, I don't know, DK Metcalf maybe. Like, what do you think of the veteran idea? Because everything costs you something. In the case of a veteran receiver, you're getting right back into a market rate number one wideout type contract for a player that you just got out from under with Diggs, but it probably doesn't cost you the draft capital moving up to, say, get Rome Odunze might cost you in the draft. What do you think of the veteran trade idea, and could you see being trying to get to the front of the line for any conversation about any veteran wideout, you know, a 25, 27-year-old player do a big contract to replace Diggs?
I it's so hard for me to get there, but it is Brandon Bean, and, you know, he can be a gambler like that, and he will take risks, and he will take chances, and he'll find a way if he really wants to. I think the evidence of that is the trades that he's made in the draft, but also Von Miller, right? I mean, who would have thought he would find money? That even that year, they're like, they don't have any money. Oh my God, here's Von Miller, $20 million a year, right? But how do you do it? You do it by extending out the contract. You put void years on. You give a big signing bonus. So any contract, any trade that involves a wide receiver and then handing out a big contract seems very unlikely to me. But if Brandon Bean really loved Brandon Ayuk that much, for example, I think he would try to do it and say, I can make the contract work by giving as low as possible cap number over the next couple of years. We've opened up 2025. We have more room then. We have more room in 2026. Let's do it this way. The problem is, of course, not only that, you have to give up the assets for that. It just seems like it's not the kind of idea the Bills have been gearing towards here. They have talked about kind of resetting their financials a little bit, and we've seen that put in practice. They've talked about getting younger at some positions. These guys aren't necessarily old, right? T. Higgins or, you know, Brandon Ayuk, for example. They're younger than Stephon Diggs, but it just feels so much like this has to be more of these younger receivers and drafting receivers that are going to come in. Would I completely take it off the table? No. I'll say it the way I kind of phrased it with Stephon Diggs when you guys asked me about trading him way back at the beginning of the offseason.
Yeah.
Boy, I can't see it happening, but I think you have to at least think about it if you're Brandon Bean and what it could mean for your roster.
Yeah, there's just so much to consider, Sal. Like, the idea like what kind of team they want to be and intend to be on offense. We know what they looked like and how they played offensively in the back end of the season, and it was a very run-intensive, run-heaviest team in the league, in fact. And, you know, going through this offseason and losing, they've lost 150 catches. I recognize they've signed guys. Curtis Samuel will bridge some of that. Maybe even Mac Hollins, too. We'll see. So, I mean, they're not, like, void here. They've got guys. But, boy, I just wonder what kind of team I want to be with Josh Allen as my quarterback. And is there – can you leave number one wideout to the draft? You know, I really wonder that. If you don't go a veteran route to make sure you're getting someone you would feel pretty certain you can count on because of his career to this point, then we're talking about – a kid here, and boy, I just wonder if that's not too big a role to try to fill.
I agree. It's a great, great question, and to see what their philosophy is going to be. I mean, you bring in Curtis Samuel, and even then, like, he's not a number one wideout. You're not only are you talking about these roles, it's the number one role, really, right? I mean,
right.
Who's the go-to guy? Curtis Samuel's the guy right now, right? And third down, you need a play outside. It's Stephon Diggs for the last few years. There's not a guy like that on the roster that you look at. And I love Curtis Samuel. I love what he brings. Curtis Samuel's going to be a guy that does a lot for them. But not only are you talking about a guy who has to come in as a young player and play a lot, but he's got to play a really, really super important role in every situation. That's what's so interesting about this. So I think it's a fascinating question. I don't know how they want to tackle it. Are there guys still out there? I'm not really sure. I think Warren Sharp was doing something on free agent wide receiver still available. I'm not really positive. I think Joe mentioned that. So I have to go back and look at the names. Not even familiar right now and up to speed on which names are still out there after all this in free agency. But, you know, it's going to be a guy. If you want a guy in a free agency, it's not going to be a number one wideout. It's not going to be a guy who's come in here and, you know, take those kinds of targets.
Right.
Think of all the targets that Stephon Diggs had. I mean, you got to replace that in some way. I just can't see them going with the volume by committee approach throughout the whole season and being that successful, or at least them feeling like they're going to be that successful. I think they have to have somebody that they feel really confident in. Over the last few years, have they shown that they're really confident put a young guy in that position? They haven't. I mean, even Khalil Shakir's taken a couple years, year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, taking him here to do this. So I'm really curious how they approach it.
Yeah, because, I mean, that gets me thinking about, like, one scenario is, you know, okay, don't trade up, don't pay double, you know, it's a receiver-rich draft. So you sit back, recognizing your top two receivers from a year ago are no longer on your team. You just stay at 28 and what, hope that the right guy is there? I mean, I guess it's possible they like so many guys that they're not worried about this. And, like, that would be awesome, right? Because I can fall into that trap. Like, oh, I like this guy's highlights. Oh, I like this guy's highlights. Just get me one of these guys. I know the teams are much more thorough than that. So I would not expect the Bills to like all these guys equally. They're going to have their favorites. And leaving it to just how the draft falls, that gets me to maybe a trade up and maybe a more a very aggressive trade up. But even that, we're going to just spend the next 10 days speculating about it, because that's not the kind of thing that happens until draft night, probably.
That's exactly right. I mean, I've been thinking for a while that they are in the mood to have an aggressive trade up. I think the problem comes in, can you do it? It's not the want to. To me, the want to might be there. It just, there's a lot of breadcrumbs here that keep suggesting that maybe that's what the play is, that they want to go up and get the best guy they can get. When Brandon Bean talked about, and I asked him at the owners' meetings, first question I asked him was, how surprised were you or disappointed were you, however I phrased it to him, about not getting that third-round comp pick and instead of getting a fourth-round comp pick? They were mad, Bulldog.
Yeah.
Like, and he said it really, like, it was a major blow for them. And I'm, and look, there's one thing. Of course it's a major blow, because a third-round to a fourth-round pick 30 spots later is capital, right? It's just, it's where it's the talent you're going to get. But I keep thinking that was something he probably really wanted to use as a chess piece to help him. And then they get a second round pick for Stephon Diggs. And I'm like, okay, what would it cost to move up to the top 10? If you do a Julio Jones type of trade, we have precedent for this. Mm-hmm. Julio Jones, 2011, they moved up from 27 to 6. Even if you don't go to 6, if you go to 8, 9, 10, what would it cost you? It's going to cost you next year's first. Well, guess what? It's a lot easier to part with next year's first if you have next year's an extra next year's second.
Mm-hmm.
And they do now. And that's why I keep wondering if that's the, what they want to do. But again, the question is, can you do it? Remember in 2018, they wanted to move up, apparently, to where Denver was to get Josh Allen. But Denver was ready to do it until Bradley Chubb fell to them. And then they said, sorry, we're not doing it. So now they had to scramble and find another trade partner, and that wound up being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right. So, you know, even these veteran receivers, if they're going to get moved, A.J. Brown was traded at the draft. Marquise Brown was also traded at the draft. Hill and Adams, I think, were before the draft by a week or two or maybe even more than that, right, as free agency was kicking off. So there's no one way it happens. I'm just going a long way here to say we could be poring over this and voicing our opinions and our desires about it and not have any clarity on it until – you know, I don't know, 9:30 on Thursday the 25th, I guess, is the date, right?
Well, if it's not by 9:30 and they wait, we're going to be drafting and listening to what they draft at 11:30, by the way. That I looked it up. Last year's 28th pick was at 11:30 p.m.
That is a long, long, long time to wait, no doubt. All right. Sal, thank you for this, and I'm sure we'll have a busy week. And yes. You'll definitely be a part of our draft spectacular on Thursday. We can count on that as well. I'm sure we'll be in touch before Thursday anyway.
Yeah, and I know your show, you're talking a lot about the Sabres availability.
Yeah.
I was locked in on the first half hour listening to you, by the way. And I know you've been talking about that, but just so everybody knows, the Bills will have media availability on Thursday. We're going to hear from Brandon Bean, then Sean McDermott, and then Josh Allen, and some select other players.
All right, that's excellent. And by the way, you've been in this not quite as long as me. I'm not missing anything obvious, right? Like a team puts out a release like that the coach is going to be talking about the season that just wrapped up on Friday. They're not planning on doing something with him before Friday, right? Or really ever. Like I'm reading.
I would say not before Friday. Could they possibly do something with him after that? Yeah, but doesn't it feel like and read like I agree with you? Like, I mean, the initial thing is when you look at it, to put it out today and say Friday they're going to do this just kind of suggests that it would be really weird if they put him up there on Friday and fired him Saturday, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like why go through it? Right. So to
right.
me, it signifies that it's already been decided. And maybe the biggest thing, and I'll talk more about this as I go, I'm sorry to be bothering you with it, but
it's okay.
that they're not waiting to hear from the players.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I wouldn't expect, players to just like throw Granato under the bus. But indirectly, like you could get information from them that could lead you to wanting to make a decision and maybe changing your mind about something, but they just seem locked in. Like to me, that's it. We're going to keep going with this. And man, I'm stunned. All right. I've kept you.
Let me
enough.
Ask you a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
On Friday, Kevin Adams is going to get the question. Are you committed to Don Granato as your head coach in 2024? Is there more of a chance of say him saying emphatically, directly, Don Granato is our coach in 2024, or him saying we're doing an entire organization evaluation over the next few weeks?
I don't think you roll Granato out there for that if you can't say he's our coach.
Okay.
It's a good question, though, because you would want to leave time for that. I feel like the timing of this is giving them the opportunity to do that already. Do the review, whatever. They've been in Florida mm-hmm. all weekend. I mean, I don't know what's going on down there. And I know the timing of this will get them back here, by Friday for sure. But maybe there's meetings with the coach and the GM. Do they have to be there for locker clean out for the players? Like maybe they're going to meet with ownership, tomorrow and Wednesday, and then they'll be back here for Friday. I don't know. But
I would think that the coach and GM would be a part of exit interviews.
Well, right, of course. That's right. Of course, they will be here. Yes, that answers that.
Right.
Of course, yes. All right.
But so, I do think there's a chance he says, we're doing an entire organizational evaluation. But I agree with you that it's much more likely he says, Don Granato's our coach in 2024.
Right.
We're going forward. Need to concentrate on that.
Right. All right, Sal. Thanks a lot for this. We'll check in with you later in the week. There's Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? All right, so Sal and I have been over some of the wide receiver ideas, at least theoretically, trade for an established veteran and pay him a big contract like Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins, trade up in the draft, stay where you are, trade back, accumulate pick, all kinds of options. That's a conversation we certainly have been having in earnest for weeks on end and will continue and can even have it right now if you like. The Sabres, though, and this information about a news conference with the coach and the GM, I'm taking very much as a sign that no changes of significance are coming. Maybe they'll change out an assistant coach or two or something. I don't know. But I don't think Granato's going anywhere. I certainly don't think Adams is going anywhere. And I'm relatively stunned that they just put out a press release saying that today, considering the season, A, hasn't even ended yet, and they're about to miss the playoffs for a 13th consecutive season. Unprecedented. Whew. Nothing. All right, I'm the Bulldog. 803-0550 is the number. Either one of those subjects you want to get in on or anything else that happened over the weekend, I took in a lot of it, so maybe I'm game for whatever you want to bring up as well. 803-0550 is the number. Mike is off today, along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog. Thanks for listening to WGR.
Vern wrote a book back in 2018 called Play by Play. And the last line in the book that you wrote, Vern, I want to apply it to you. You said, thanks, to borrow a phrase, thanks for the memories. Your voice has been a beautiful instrument. Thank you for a wonderful soundtrack for all of our lives.
Thank you so much, Jim. My honor, my privilege.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Maybe it's just the fact that I watched countless hours of the SEC presented by Home Depot on CBS with Vern. Maybe it was his voice cracking, Nance's voice. That was powerful last night, yesterday afternoon, watching that. Like, you knew it was coming, and still I was like, why am I getting choked up about Vern Lundquist? What is even happening to me? Like, that happened watching that yesterday. One of those deals where if my wife had been in the room, she would have been like, are you okay? What? This will happen like a song gives me a reaction and she'll be like, are you, again. Like that, I get that. Like, I think Vern would have been a whole other level. Like she might have like, we need to call somebody.
She would have made fun of you.
I think she probably would have made fun of me. Yeah.
Like, so I'm younger, but I've grown up with Vern Lundquist, like especially college football. That's my thing.
Right.
I needed the moment that everyone kind of saw online where Tiger Woods shook hands with a tree.
Yeah.
I needed that because then I'm like, okay, this is good. Because hearing that, I was just like,
yeah,
oh, man, yeah, it is done. And he's the voice of golf for me. And then, of course, college football, like they're both gone. And I'm like, that's going to be really strange now. And I don't like that. Like usually I'm fine with like new voices coming in.
Yeah.
We just heard John Sterling's going to be retiring from calling Yankees baseball. And I'm still like, I don't like this. Like, yeah. I'm 26, and I'm like, this is not okay. I don't like this.
I've missed him on the football on Saturdays. Like, I don't think my life has also changed a lot. Like, when, you know, I always joked around with Mike when, you know, my kids were that little, you got to find stuff to do with them little. I mean, they're adults now, and obviously, you know how age works. But when they were really little, like, Saturday was like, oh, we got hockey practice, and then this thing, and then we're home. And, like, 3 in the afternoon, okay, let's get set up here. And I never watched more college football than I did when my kids were like 0 to 14 or 15 years old. Like, it just felt like we were home a lot on Saturday afternoons, and I would have the TV on. Of course, I would be engaged with them, not just sticks, you know, sitting in front of the TV piling up empty beer cans, you know, dad of the year. So, but still, I watched a lot. My life is different now. Like, I'm not as devoted to that. Like, that window, I'm not as tethered to the house anymore. But I honestly think Vern Lundquist not being there, like if he were still doing the games, I feel like I'd be more inclined at 3:30 on a Saturday to go, I got to get there. I mean, the teams are usually enough. I mean, it's the SEC, or it has been the SEC, which is, you know, really good players, really good prospects, all that. But I already miss, for nothing against Brad Nessler, I really miss Vern Lundquist. He's just one of the all-time greats. So that was really heartwarming to see that. I was also relieved when I saw footage from an alternate angle that you could actually see Vern Lundquist and Tiger Woods exchanging pleasantries there. So he wasn't, in fact, indeed shaking hands with a tree. But I know that's how it looked, that first clip of it. Anyway, an incredible career, an all-time great in the broadcast and play-by-play world. Vern Lundquist stepping down. That was his final. That was it. He's been out of the college football game for a bit, and that was his final weekend at the Masters, and so now that's the end of the line for him. Great career. 803-0550 is the phone number. Just off a conversation with Sal about the draft and receivers and replacing all the targets and catches that the Bills have lost this offseason with Davis and Diggs both leaving the team. Also been talking a lot about the Sabres today and their season ending tonight. Seemingly, I'm taking an announcement about a news conference involving both Granato and Kevin Adams, as there will be no changes at either position, GM or coach, moving into the offseason here. They're going to meet with the media on Friday following 2 days of exit meetings and locker clean out with the players. And I take that announcement about the timing of that news conference as all I need to confirm that they're not going to make a change, especially at coach. I've suspected that, but there's plenty of reason to have thought otherwise, but it does not appear to be in the offing. So I've been talking about that a bit today as well. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on either subject or the Masters or Vern Lundquist or whatever else might be on your mind. Adam is first up this segment. Hi, Adam. Thank you for calling. You're on WGR.
Hi, am I on the line?
You are on the air, sir. Yes, go ahead, please.
Hey, cool. So, I mean, in terms of changing the coaches and stuff, like, I feel like, and this was not why I called, but I feel like Darcy and, when he had Darcy here, it was every few years you had a great team. So, but, I mean, the reason I'm calling is the target share for the Bills. go back and look at the second half of last year when that team went on a run. It was, we won six games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Go look at Diggs, targets, reception rate,
mm-hmm.
and yards. It was nothing compared to Kincaid or Shakir's.
Well, Shakir outperformed him on like half the targets.
I know. It was incredible. Yeah. So, I mean, I have a feeling that's a big reason for that decision. I'm completely 100% on the receiving train. Like, let's get two. Let's go 28. Let's trade back up in the top of the second. But, yeah, no, it was substantially different.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. You know, the question is, what do you do moving forward? I think, Adam, it is – I like Shakir. I think that's a guy that I want to feed in the slot. Kincaid and he maybe eat into one another a little bit because Kincaid was used in the slot a lot as well. But I feel like Shakir is poised for like 60, 70 catches. I really think, you know, maybe there's even more there, but like modestly, I think that's, you know. He had 39 last year on only 45 targets. Catches everything that's near him. So that's good. I mean, you got to have your quarterback get the ball near him, but he brings it in. You know, I'm not here to tell you that he's going to double that and still catch, you know, that rate. I would expect that catch percentage to drop a little if he gets fed, I don't know, twice as many targets. He only had 45 targets. Kincaid had 91. His catch rate was also very good, 73 receptions on those 91 targets. And I would expect that metric to improve for the Bills, period, because Gabe Davis has been kind of a sinkhole in that just barely above 50% of his targets were caught. So, yeah, like Mike kind of pushed me on this a little bit last week because – I have been talking about replacing players that were very close to our hearts and very important high-level performers on defense that I think had been slipping the last few years. And like, hey, you know what? I know it hurts to have no Micah Hyde, and it hurts to have no Jordan Poyer and Tre'Davious White. But it's an opportunity to, I think, improve. It doesn't have to end that way. And I'm not saying you won't miss certain aspects of those players, certainly intangibly, their leadership. I think they've shown a lot of guys how to do it the right way here. So they've got, you know, there's things that you can miss about these players. But on the field, I feel like there had been some slippage. So I'm open to them getting better. At receiver, it's a little harder for me to put together because you're losing a number one guy. And you do not have a ready-made number one guy ready to replace him. And I'm here for positionless football. We've got skill players, and I'm not going to worry about whether they fit in the slot or whether they fit outside or how I'm using them schematically and all this. That all just sounds like off-season talk. Every spring and into the summer, this running back, he's like a wide receiver. We're going to split him out. Wait till you see how we use him. And then the games start, and the guy's a running back, right? I mean, he's a running back. So I don't know about this theoretical, doesn't matter what style of guy I have. I just need guys who can get open. I'm going to need a guy that can be counted on to be the go-to guy. I'm going to need a number one. Somebody's going to lead the team in targets. And maybe he's already here. Maybe that is Kincaid or Shakir. In my head, I don't think I want that to be Curtis Samuel. I like his signing, but is he the guy I want to be throwing the ball to more than anyone else on this roster right now? I feel like that guy is not here yet. And that is why the urgency is there for me to sort of fit that piece into the puzzle. Who's going to be that guy? Who's going to be third and seven? I need to play. Like, again, I like the idea of, you know, by committee. That sounds really great. But in reality, I need a play. I don't know that I need a committee. I need a dude that is going to get open, that I can count on, that has a connection and a chemistry with my quarterback. And I don't know, man. I just don't feel like that guy's here yet. 803-0550, thus the wide receiver train. 803-0550 is the number if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Don't feel like you have to respond to any Sabres point. I feel like that last caller wasn't really thinking about the Sabres but felt obliged. I can roll with it, okay? It's fine. But Bills, receiver train, Sabres, no coaching change? Whew. We'll talk more about that as we go. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Shope is out today along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR. Glad to be hanging with y'all here on a Monday afternoon. Sun's out. It's warming up. Golf courses are trickling open. Got to get after it. Watch a lot of Masters. Makes you want to go play some golf. Hit the simulator Sunday morning. Hoping to get out this week at some point. Pending the weather. 803-0550. It's going to be chilly tomorrow morning, but looks clear, maybe. 803-0550 is the number. Sabres finish the season tonight in Tampa. Pregame at 6. Face-off a little after 7. We'll talk more about that as we get closer to game time. But the news with them is that today they sent out word to the media, of which I am a member, notifying us that head coach and GM Don Granato and Kevin Adams would be meeting with the media on Friday morning following a couple of days of exit meetings with the players and players being made available to the media, locker clean out, that kind of thing. And that very much feels to me like they're not changing the coach. And I'm kind of stunned by that. Like, I just don't think that they would go through the trouble of announcing that and then fire the guy tomorrow or something. It would be weird. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it seems highly unlikely. I feel like that decision to announce that they're going to have that meeting with the media on Friday is them telling us, we're going to move forward with this. We believe in this. And my mind is kind of blown by that. So that's what is on the agenda as far as the Sabres. As far as football goes, I mean, it's it's the wide receiver train in full effect is where we're at here. Either subject is fine by me. 803-0550 is the number. Jim is first up this segment. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Bulldog. I wanted to kind of feed on one of your points. Last week, you and Mike were going back and forth on the, you know, Mike was adamant about not trading up for a receiver, and I think you were more in the trade up and go get one of those,
yep,
the best possible. And I think the Bills realistically have put themselves in a situation where they can't afford to sit back and hope a second or third or fourth round guy comes through in a couple of years. I mean, Josh Allen's getting older, and a couple of years down the road, he's not going to be today's Josh Allen. You're going to lose the run ability. You're going to lose some of the physical stuff. He's still going to be a good passer. But you are in a spot now, but the Bills are in a spot now where they got to make hay. And they got to go up and get one of these guys. Nothing is guaranteed. But you would think that if you got up into the top three receivers, or maybe even four if you want to put Thomas there.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to assure yourself, I think, of one of those top four. And you have to do pretty much whatever you have to do to get there, in my opinion. Because you're paying so much for Josh Allen. It's an offense-based league. And basically, I mean, Curtis Samuel's a nice guy. He's probably a three, or realistically more like a slot. Shakir's a slot. Kincaid, who knows what they're going to do with him. I mean, I'd like to see him run more seam routes at him, a lot like what Travis Kelce runs. But you really don't have a one or a two. So you've got to make a move and get somebody. And unless you're going to make a move like for a T. Higgins and do go that route, or a Brandon Ayuk and just make that kind of a trade, if you're not going to do that, I think you have to make a move to guarantee yourself one of those top three or four receivers at very minimum to give yourself a chance. Otherwise, you might as well just tear it down to the studs and start over because
right. You're not going to go anywhere. Well, that, yeah, and there's no. Thanks for the call, Jim. We got to run. There's no way that's in the offing. I totally agree with the Josh Allen timeline. I don't know when his career turns away from him being the super uber dangerous runner that he is right now. But all I know is that that usually does not last forever. And so I'm dead smack in the middle of his prime. And I can't wait around to see, we'll see. Like, I would struggle to do that if I were running the team. I think Brandon Bean, I'll be very surprised if that's the approach he ends up taking, just sitting back and waiting for 28. Now, he might have a mind to want to do something dramatic, whether that's a veteran player or a trade up the draft. That just doesn't come together, and he might end up just sitting there at 28. Who knows? But it is not – it's not to me would not – if I were establishing the betting lines on this stuff, man, I'd have at least a modest move up to maybe Brian Thomas Juniorville as the favorite, followed by the big, bold move up for Rome Odunze. Because I just can't imagine Brandon Bean with this quarterback and this window of championship-caliber play we've had, them sort of hitting pause on it, even for a year. I don't think that that's called for. So I think they will be aggressive about replacing the targets and the catches that they've lost. Thanks for the call. More on the way right after the top of the hour. In fact, from here till 6, it's just me hanging out with Zach. So you want to talk about the Bills replacing Diggs and Davis? You want to talk about the Sabres not replacing Don Granato as head coach, which is the way the wind seems to be blowing? Both subjects are up for discussion as we continue into the 5 o'clock hour right after this on WGR.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.